Amen. All right. Appreciate all that's been said and done here this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. We're reading the first verse. Of course, been read many times concerning young people. But let me say today, I hope it, knowing young people, but everyone that is listening will get something from the Word of God that'll help them and be a blessing to them. And I appreciate the graduates sitting on the front pew with us today. And then after service, we'll let them go out. We'll have them march out, and they'll line up in the vestibule, and you can shake their hands and congratulate them and be a real blessing to them. And Brother John Wright, I know he's finishing up a year early in high school and going off to college, and accomplishment, and we certainly, in many ways, I appreciate all of them and all the accomplishments they've made in their school and in their life. And now we're looking in the Word of God and try to help them and you and me and all of us together. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, let's stand, please. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of prayer. And thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung. And Lord, what a blessing to our hearts. And then, Lord, the seniors, we thank you for every one of them. And pray you bless them and guide their lives. But then, Father, help us all today that we'll let you look at our lives. And, Father, that we will respond as you'd have us to do so. And I pray for that divine touch of God now to help us preach. We realize, Lord, we can do nothing without you. And, Father, I plead for that touch of God. I pray you'd help me to think and be able to say what I need to say. And I pray, say it, seasoned with the Holy Spirit of God, to go out and do the work it needs to do in minds and hearts. And all over this congregation today, I pray for every unsaved in the house that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction and draw them that they may be saved. I pray for those who may be falling afar off that you may speak to their hearts and draw them. Then some need encouragement, some need help in family situations or whatever it is. I pray, God, your will be accomplished and bring glory to you. Thank you and praise you. I pray, God, you bless these, our missionaries, and use them mightily for your glory and help all of us today now to worship and adore you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood, claim the victory. Amen and amen. As we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, you find the writer here as he wrote about life itself and many times came down and talked about different things and said, all's vanity. It's all vanity. And I want you to look in chapter number 11 and verse number 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But there's one of those holy conjunctions in the Word of God. He said, you go ahead and live like your eyes want to, like your flesh would like to. But know thou that all these things, now for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Then he comes down to the end of the book and verses number 13 and 14 in chapter 12. He'd been talking about life and considering life. And certainly Solomon had riches. He had pleasures. He had music. He had all these things. But he came down to the end of it, and here's what he said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so he has summed it up there and brought it all to conclusion about life. And we need to remember this today as seniors and everybody else here need to remember that this is not all there is to it. This life is not all there is to life. We'll exist somewhere beyond this life, either in heaven or hell. People will go on, and there will be a day that everybody will meet God. And regardless of what is thought about that, we will meet God one day. Now, I'm going to get right into the message because what I'm going to conclude with is what I really want to get to, but I want to say a few things in the message before I get there and pray that God would help me. Notice it says in chapter 12, verse number 1, remember. There's a lot of things you've learned in school you need to remember. And I grant you there's a lot of things we learn that we forget. But remember this, in this verse of scripture that I'm using today, remember. And when we remember something, we bring it back to mind. We think about it. We remember somebody, we think of them. Remember an event that took place in our life, we remember back on, we're thinking about that event. He said, remember now thy creator. Remember now thy creator. I don't talk about the creator. That's who we are to remember, the creator. Isn't it odd to you, have you ever thought about this? Why is it that people are always trying to disprove the existence of God? It is so self-evident, you don't have to prove his existence. They're trying to disprove his existence, but he still exists anyhow. It doesn't make any difference what man thinks about. There is a creator. I've said often about this thing about a creation that we live in. How in the world could all this work without being a creator to put it all together and make it all happen? It could not work that way. And so God is a creator. And so you have learned in high school, you have learned a lot of things, but you have learned in home, I pray, and in church, and in life itself. There is a God, and God does exist, and he is a creator. And man don't want to admit that. If man ever admits that God's his creator, he knows he's in trouble. He realizes then he's got to come and grips about some other questions that rise from that. But God is the creator. Let me say this. Man tries to depress that knowledge within him. He can't disprove the existence of God. So he tries to depress that existence of God. But I want you to turn with me in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 21. Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now that's what God said about it. They once knew, then they forgot God. You see, the world lost out there, never heard about Jesus. That's not God's fault. One time they had the knowledge of God, man left the knowledge of God. And here's what it says. They were unthankful, became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Look in verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And what he's dealing with here in some verses is homosexuality, and dealing with the fact that God has to turn them over, a reprobate mind to believe that. And we're living in a day and a time today that morals have dropped all-time low, and they argue about what marriage is. Marriage is between one man and one woman. That's what marriage is. Amen. And they go and, you know why they depress the knowledge of God? Because they want to live their lifestyle in sin and ignore what God said. And then a man departs from God, leaves God, and he just wants to leave God out of everything. Psalm 9:17 says that when you do that, said all wicked should be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That'd be a good message for America today. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. And so we recognize that truth. That I want you to turn with me in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. And I'm going to try to move on here just a moment, but I want you to see this. Because a creator, we must recognize him, not depress that knowledge of him, not depart from him, but worship and adore him. In verse 12, chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And so we need to take heed to the word of God and hear this. And young folk, you need to hear it. Don't depart from the knowledge you have of God. Don't try to leave God out of your life. Don't walk off and say, I don't need God. You do need God. God is a creator. Now, let's talk about the second thing he says in this verse. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And how are you going to do that? Remember him in the days. How are you going to remember him anytime? You're going to first of all think about his person. Think about a person in Psalm 27, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the Lord our God. And so think about his person, but then meditate in his word. And we're talking about that secret place. And you think about God, then you meditate in his word, get your mind on the word of God. And young folk, let me encourage you that as you begin your life, and I pray already have, but that time that you stay in the word of God and that you read the word of God and commit it to heart and mind, and as you grow older, you may forget some of it, but you still know it's there and you know what God said. And I pray that God will help you as you do that and remember that. And you, all of us need to do that, amen. Remember that word of God. Psalms 1 and 2 talks about his delight, talking about that right one with God. His delight is in the word of God. In this law doth he meditate day and night. And we need to meditate in that law of God day and night. Keep the word in our heart. We need the word of God. We need the word of God more than we need anything else in the world. Book that's ever been written, we need the word of God. And there's been some good books written. They're well in their place. But the best book of all is the word of God. Amen. It's not the TV guide. It's not the Reader's Digest nor the Sears Roebuck catalog or Page and Penny, whatever they put out now. That's not the best book. It is the word of God that we need to meditate in and get in. And if you're going to remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, you're going to have to think about him. And then you're going to have to get in the word of God. And then you need to be doers of the word of God. And John 15:17 said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. And I'm going to park here just for a minute and say this today. We need to do what God says to do. How can we say that we remember God when we won't do what God said to do? You know? And this is what the writer's saying to us to remember God. He's created us. And so if he created us, he put us here for a purpose. Then let's do what God wants us to do and what God's word says. And let me throw this out here today. Sometimes I was just thinking about it, and warm weather's coming and all that stuff, and people dress any kind of way and all that. We need to know what the word of God says about modest dress. Amen. We need to know what the word of God says about how we ought to look, how we ought to act. Amen. You say, preacher, y'all not preach that here today. We come in knowing, I know. And when, you know, standards that you have in the church and try to maintain, and if you don't ever say anything about them, people always push you to the limits, amen, and try to push that thing the far as they can and do that. But we take a stand, and I want you to understand that. Young folk, when somebody's trying to tell you what is right by the word of God and teaching you what is right by the word of God, don't get upset at them. Amen. If the mailman brings you a bill and you don't owe the bill and you get mad at the mailman, why you get mailing him for? He just delivered what was given to him to deliver to your house. And if the man of God's preaching and he delivers something to your house and you don't like it, well, don't get mad at the preacher. Find out what the word of God said about it. And then if you want to get mad at the word of God, you go ahead. And God can deal with that. He knows how to deal with you on that. I wouldn't advise it if I was you, because God has a way of getting your attention when you do that. And young people, let me say to you, as you go out of here, and you'll be tempted to ignore what God said. Our society has gone down the drain, amen. Ain't no use in beating around the bush about it. If you're gonna go by the society out here, your life will not be a Christian testimony. It'll not be what God wants it to be. It'll come far short of that. And we need to understand that in our lives. Our lives need to be what God said they ought to be. Amen. And the word of God talks about many things about life, not just standards, but it talks about our attitudes and our love for others and caring and following God and doing what God says and following the word of God. And the church taking a stand, amen, against cults and against ungodliness and against things that's wrong and false doctrine and all that kind of thing. It has to be. If it doesn't do that, then we fail. And I pray that God will help us in this. And I'm just tossing that out quickly. We're going to come back to that later someday and nail some things down real tight, because we need it nailed down in our day. We need to understand. Listen, we're living in perilous times, and the devil's having a heyday.
and people getting messed up. And young folk, I can tell you how young folk get messed up by not paying attention to what God's saying and following the world and their thinking. And human way of thinking has taken over the thinking of our society, and humanistic way of thinking. And I don't think like the world thinks. And if you're right with God, you won't think like the world thinks. Fact is, I'm not even sure the world thinks. I think they just act on some kind of humanistic instinct. They don't think, but we need to think like God says. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Amen. He expects us to be what he wants us to be, not what somebody else thinks is okay, but what God said. And we need to do that. He said, when should we do that? We should do it when we're young. That's what he said in that verse. And that's why we'd love to see young folk live for God, love to see them come to God young and live for God and give the heart to Jesus. And I'm not talking about dragging professions out of children before they get ready. I'm talking about young folk need to get saved while they're young and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But when you going to live for God, young folk? You're going to wait till you grow up, have a family, and then live for God? You're going to live for God right now while you're young. Going off to college, you're going to school somewhere, or going into something. I don't know what you're going to do, each one of you. But I do know this. You need to live for God right now while you're young, because you'll never have that youth again. I look back on my life, and here I am. I stand today, and I don't seem like any time since I was walking across a stage in a high school, to graduating from high school, and here I say I am. I start to say I say it, but I'm standing up. And you adults know what it was like when you graduated, and here you are sitting here today, and the years have a way of coming and going quickly. And I can't recall those teen years. I can't recall those and do those over. But you have them right now in your grasp, in your hands. And you can right now make them count and live for God. Young folk can't. And I'm going to plug something else in this morning while I'm moaning. I'm just in a kind of a preaching mood right now and kind of got in that gear. The young people, I thank God for young folk. But I tell you, the biggest problem young folk have is moms and dads. Amen. If somebody blames the church for how they turn out, don't blame the church for it. It starts in the home. Amen. If a home's not right, church can't handle it. If the home's not right, the school's not going to handle it. And school don't make them right, and church don't make them right. The home's a place where it's instilled in them some right and wrong. Amen. Now, the church helps, and the church has to be there, and the church is important, and the church ought to do its place, its job of preaching and teaching them the Word of God. That's true. And so should the school. I'd like to see schools back. I talked about when my dad was not in high school, but when he started school, I got his first reader he had. And it's A is for Abel, gives a Bible verse. B for Babel, gives a Bible verse. And learned ABCs with a Bible scripture verse. I wish it's still like that, but it's not like that. But I can tell you this, and Christian schools don't make it necessarily right, amen? I'm for it, but I don't make it as everything right. These things, anywhere you got people, there's going to be some things wrong. Even homeschooling is not perfect, because it's made up of people, amen. Ain't none of it perfect, but I can tell you this. The home, God established the home first and put man and wife together and gave them responsibility to raise children, amen. And so they need to raise children. And I just thought I'd toss that in there. I don't know why, but I did. God said so, amen. That's good enough, amen. When you do it while you're young. And Joseph was young when he stood for God. Three Hebrew children were young when they stood for God. And what you going to do, young people, when you get out there and you're not in church, mom and dad's not around, and you go off to college or you go off to somewhere else and you're working a job or you're doing whatever you're doing, what you going to do then? When everything around you is against God and everything's gone to pieces, it looks like, where are you going to stand then? Joseph, he stood for God regardless of what happened to him. And he got sold in slavery. Then he got put in prison. But he still stood for God. But in the end result, he got blessed. And three Hebrew children, they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't listen to what the king said. And they wouldn't burn. But thank God they came out on the other side shouting victory, amen. They were okay when they come out. I'm telling you, you need to stand for God. And adults, we need to stand for God. Amen. As well as young folk, we need to show them the way of standing for God and living for God in these days. Right now, when? Right now, why? And that question comes up, why? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. He's worth everything you'll ever suffer for him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of giving him glory. He's worthy. In fact, that's why he created. And that's why they want to do away with the Creator. Because if they ever admit there is a Creator, then the first question that comes up, why did he create us? And he created us for his glory and to worship and adore him. And young folk, that's your purpose in life. Don't ever forget it. You're created for him. And so we need to do that. Praise him. I'll give you another reason why we ought to do it, why we ought to remember the Creator in the days of our youth, and why all of us ought to do it. Because he said so. When he says so, that settles it regardless. Amen. He said you ought to remember him. And God created you, gave you life. You wouldn't even be breathing if God didn't give you life. And God gave you life and let you breathe. Remember him. Think on him. And don't get your mind on everything else before you think about God. Get God first place in your thinking. Amen. Now, three things I want to say today. And you say, preacher, you already said a bunch of things. I know, but I'm just trying to get ready for the three things I want to say. Hey, it's three main things I think. And this could be expanded other way, other directions, but three things I think. Young folk, y'all going to be making decisions about, or already have some of them, but some of them you haven't. And so I want to try to share this with you today. Number one, Pilate asked a question. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? These things, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. If you'll do that, you'll answer his question right. He said, what shall I then do with Jesus? He had Jesus on his hands. And I want you to know everybody in this house, you listening? Everybody in this house has Jesus on their hands. You can't wash him off with water. You can't ignore the fact he exists because he is. And you can't push him aside and ignore him. He'll keep coming back to you. He shows himself everywhere. Every time you see a sunrise, God's saying, I'm alive. Every time you see a sunset, God's saying, I'm live. Every time the heat temperature's just right and you don't burn up, God's saying, I'm around. Every time the ocean is pulled by the gravitation of the moon, every time it does that and doesn't flood the earth, God's saying, I'm still in control. Every time the stars shine out there, God's saying, I'm still around. Amen. Every time you get out of bed, God's saying, I'm still here. Amen. And so you need to remember God, but if you're doing that, then Jesus, what you going to do with Jesus? You can't get rid, you can't just toss him aside, can't ignore him. What you going to do with him? I'm glad you asked, amen. I'm glad Pilate asked a question, but Pilate did the wrong thing. He said, bring me water. He tried to wash his hands and said, I'm clean. But I believe he's screaming in hell, wringing his hands today, because he let Jesus go, knew he wasn't guilty, but denied him, wanted to please the people, the Bible said. And people are like that today. They reject God. They won't get saved. They won't live for God because they want to please people, somebody else. They want to hurt somebody else out there, so they please people instead of God. I'm saying to you, I'm glad Jesus, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Amen. I'd rather know I'm saved, know that I'm saved, than I wouldn't know anything else. And Jesus said in Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. I'm glad Jesus is wanting to come in. If you're not saved, he'll save you today. And John 3:26, he that hath the Son hath the everlasting life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Amen. And you're abiding in the wrath of God. And so tonight, today, as we think about these things, where are you? What have you done with Jesus? Is he real to you? No man can serve two masters. He either hold the one and leave the other. He'll love one, hate the other. You can't serve both. You just can't serve God and man at the same time. You can't live in both worlds. You're going to make some choices. Young folk, I pray all of you made choices about Jesus already. If you haven't, I pray today would be the day that you'll make a choice about the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, because you need to be saved. I pray every mom and dad's made a choice for Jesus. If you're not, I pray you'll do it today. Every grandpa and grandma ought to have. If not, I pray you'll do it today. Maybe get saved, get born in the family of God. This thing of being saved, not make-believe. It's real. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say it might be a nice thing or it'd be okay. You must be born again. is a necessary thing. You have to be born again. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, we must believe that in our heart. Repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Are you saved? Are you saved today? Amen. Are you glad you're saved? I never saw anybody saved wasn't glad they're saved. And they may not have been living for God like they should have, but they're glad they're saved. And so if you're saved, you're glad you're saved. And I say praise God. And I'm talking to young folk, and then I'm talking to everybody here today. But I do want you to know that you need to make up your mind what you're going to do with Jesus, because you will do something with him. And someday he's going to do something with you. And so you need to recognize that fact. You're going to meet him. You're going to give an account. You're going to have to listen to him. And you won't be ignoring him then. You know, it won't be like sitting in church and saying, well, I don't have to listen to the preacher. I don't have to listen to the word of God. I'm paying attention about it. I don't have to pay attention to that. I can ignore that. I can do my thing and just forget all that. But God said there'd be a day that you'll have to meet him. And young folk, y'all going to meet him. I'm going to meet him. Everybody's going to meet him. And we're going to give an account. Number two, I want to get to this one. And I think I never want to preach and not preach salvation, because you need to be saved. That's number one priority in any service, is people get saved, get born in the family of God. That's what it's all about. But number two, young folk, I want to ask y'all a question, and the rest of us can handle that also. But some of us older and made some decisions already about this. But what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? And I'm going to plug this in real quick. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Amen. If you're saved. And Paul talked about that and said, what? No, you're not. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Now, y'all thought I was going to get to who you marry being the most important thing. That's not the most important question in your life right now. What you do with Jesus, number one. And number two is what you're going to do with your life. Did you know God may not want you to marry? That's a shocker, isn't it? You look a little pale. But God may have something for your life that he wants you to do. It requires you to be by yourself. I don't know. God's in charge of that. But more important than anything outside of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord is, what does he want with my life? Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That was the first question he asked. And that ought to be the question you're asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's not what mom and dad want. Now, it's important to listen to mom and dad to give good instructions. It's good to listen to grandma and grandpa. Where's Brian? Amen. It's good to listen to instruction given to you by older people. You need to listen to that. But God is the one we really need to listen to the most. God, you hear me? You listen to what God says and what God wants with your life. In Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, as you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, as you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You need to make sure that your life is given to God for his glory and nothing else. If you do that, preacher, if I do that, then I won't have any fun, can't laugh, can't have a good time. Listen, you have the best time of your life living for God. Amen. And being what God wants you to be, whatever that is. And God may call some of you young men to preach. I don't think he's going to call any of you young ladies. But he may call some of you young men. But he may call you be preacher's wives or missionaries or something. God may do something like that for all of you, but he may not have that calling on your life for that. It may be something else. But whatever that calling is on your life and for your life, it ought to be to glorify God. Magnify God, whatever it is. And God has a purpose for your living. That's why you're here. God didn't just put you here to take up space. God didn't put you here just to be here. God put everybody in this house on this earth for a reason. And he has a purpose for our lives. And we need to find out what God's purpose is for our lives and follow God. Amen. I remember when God called me to preach. I used to try to find out why what it's all about and tried to do that. I didn't have a foggiest idea until I got saved. And then after I got saved, then I wanted God to lead my life. What in the world am I going to do now? And of course I was working and all that kind of stuff, but and trying to provide for a family. But what do you want me to do? And I remember when I finally You remember that, Brother Jack? When you finally said, yes, God, I'll do what God wants me to do, I tell you, it's almost as good as getting saved. Amen, just doing what God called me to do and saying yes to that. Next morning I got up, I was sick as I could be. My stomach, because nerves tore up, I guess. But I went to church anyhow, and that morning got started. I couldn't even do what I was supposed to be doing because I got to crying. I couldn't stand myself no longer. Had to tell it, and I said, praise God. I'm glad I got it off my chest. God called me to preach, and I've been trying to do that ever since then. But I'm telling you, I'm glad. But God doesn't call everybody to preach. God doesn't call everybody to do the same thing. But God does have your life. And whatever it is God wants you to do is as important to you as what God called me to do. It's as important to me. You do what God says. Follow God. Let God lead your life. Let God direct you. And God will help you. Now I'm going to get to that third thing. I said three. I'm doing pretty good. Running well here today. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. First, what you going to do with Jesus? Number two, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? God gave it to you. He entrusted you with it. What are you going to do with it? What are you doing with your life, older person? What are we doing with our lives? Then number three, who are you going to marry? If you marry. I want to plug that in, if you marry. If you marry, who are you going to marry? And that's really important. You just don't say, well, she's pretty. I think I'll marry her. You don't just say, well, he's a handsome fellow. I think I'll marry him. You don't just say, well, I think that one's got some money. I believe they'll make pretty good, I think he'll bring home a pretty good paycheck. I believe I'll marry him. I'll marry her. Or, you know, that's not how you pick a husband and wife. That's not how it happens. I'm going to try to help you now. You listen closely. Are you listening? Alicia, she smiled at me. She's listening. I want you to turn with me, please, into 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Listen to what it says. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Number one, you ought to marry somebody saved. Amen. Amen. That's what God said. Marry somebody that's saved. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. How can you get along with somebody if God's living in you? You're the temple of God. And they're not saved. They're living for the devil. And God don't live in their heart. Then you're not going to agree on everything. Well, you don't agree on everything anyway. Thought I better plug that in. You're not going to agree all the time on everything, but you ought to agree on the Word of God, on the house of God. You ought to agree, amen, that there is God and that you're saved, how to get saved and being saved. You ought to agree on all those things if you're going to marry him. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Anytime you want to preach, you can preach that. That's good because that's absolutely right. It'd be a whole lot less trouble if we marry that way and not marry outside of that will of God. And let God help us and God lead us and God direct us and God give guidance in all of this and let God do what he wants to do. Somebody said when an unbeliever marries a believer or the believer marries an unbeliever, he's going to have trouble with his pappy-in-law, his daddy-in-law, be the devil. Amen. Because he's a child of the devil. You're a child of God. And so the devil and God don't get along because the devil hates God, always against God. And God, he wants to help you and encourage you and teach you right. The devil wants to lead you astray. There'll always be that conflict. I encourage you, as you ever even think about going out with somebody, you make sure somebody, anybody you ever go out with is a potential somebody that you may marry. Amen. So make sure that somebody is somebody. At least saved, at least knows God, at least believes the Bible's the Word of God, at least has some basic doctrine set in their hearts. Amen. That'll help. That'll help. I pray today that God will help you find the right mate. If he wants you to marry, I want you to marry the right. And if that one's the right one someday, at least I hope and pray that I get to attend the wedding. But if that's not the right one, don't marry him. Let me say this, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you do not have peace about it, you pray about it, God doesn't show you that's the right thing to do, then don't do it. Amen. Any rest of y'all think about getting married? Y'all look, no. John said no. Good boy. But listen, that's absolutely the truth. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for the Word of God and the things of God. Lord, you said, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. And Father, these young people graduating high school, I pray as they go out, they know they're saved, born again. Then, Lord, not only will they know they're born again, but I pray that they'll let you have their lives given to you for whatever you want them for. Father, that your Holy Spirit would direct them and guide them in whatever steps it is that you'd have for them to go. Father, I pray then as comes that time in their life when they'll be getting married, I pray that you would guide them, direct them, give them the right young man, the right young lady. And I pray, Father, lead them and guide them in that relationship. Father, help them. And I pray thy will be accomplished and bring glory to you. Father, help all these, our graduates, but Father, help us as moms and dads. Help us as grandparents. Help us as people of God to help our young people. Encourage their hearts to guide them and set the right example for them and help them along the way. I pray for them and lift them to you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed.